Nompumelelo Siziba on SAFM.
These days, when people get married, they have the choice to be married in community or property, and in fact, the law will assume the same if no contrary intention is made clear. The alternative is to be married out of community or property, which basically vastly limits the liability of the one spouse for the other. To take us through some of the implications that come with being married in community or property and not, I'm joined on the line by Corne Lewis. He's a director in the dispute resolution practice at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. Corne, thanks very much for joining us. Let's talk about being married out of community of property. Essentially, what is it that a married couple are communicating when they go down this route?
Well, when couples are married out of community, at the end of the day, it means that you are each spouse is liable for their own debt. So you are liable for your own debt. If there's summons being issued against you, if the sheriff knocks on your door,
yes,
the other spouse can't be liable for the debt of that spouse that has incurred a debt, which means you're obligated as the other spouse.
Understood. But what about in the circumstance, say, for example, the husband has the responsibility of paying the bond, you as the wife live with your husband, but he doesn't manage to fulfill his obligations to the debtor or to the bank? Can't the bank come after the other spouse because that person is benefiting from living there?
No, you see, that's the difference. That's if you're married out of community of property, each party is liable for their own debt. So you might be living in the house, but you're married out of community. You're not liable.
Understood.
That's why the parties concluded an antenuptial contract, for example.
Right, okay.
Specifically for that reason.
So the law assumes that a married couple lives in community of property if they don't communicate otherwise. What is the implication of this in law in terms of liabilities, one for the other?
Well, if you're married in community of property, both spouses married in community have the same powers regarding the disposal of assets of the joint estate. They're also contracting of debts which lie against the joint estate and the management of the joint estate, which means both parties are liable for each other's debt. For example, if you've defaulted on the bond, as you might use as an example,
yes,
both parties will be liable.
Are there any circumstances where a debtor might find it difficult to go after a spouse who didn't consent to their party getting into a financial agreement or whatever the case may be with a given debtor?
Yes, so a common defense that's used by spouses, for example, where they're married in community of property, is a defense that's commonly used in terms of our Matrimonial Property Act of 1984, where a spouse can, for example, say that, listen here, I didn't consent, for example, to a surety. Hmm. I never bounded myself to the surety because I never consented to this. So that's a common defense that's normally being used by spouses where, for example, the husband went his business, he went and concluded surety in order for his company to get some funds from the bank.
Corne, let's just back up a little bit and just define for us what surety is.
Well, a surety, it's normally used in the respect of commercial contracts concluded with entities where one party, in order to get security, the bank will require security.
Hmm.
And normally the parties will conclude a surety as a form of security for the bank. So in the event that there's a default on, for example, on a loan, the bank can then come after you and then, based on that surety, claim the money from you directly instead of the company. The company has defaulted on that loan. It's a form of security.
Understood. So in the event that one of the spouses is perhaps engaged in commercial activity, maybe they own a company or something, they must get a letter of surety from their spouse, you know, which basically says, yes, I'm prepared to back him or her up.
Yes, you see, there's two. You can. That's the proviso that is in the business of that person. But if, for example, you do that as an employer of the company, you sign a surety, and you're not gaining any interest or financial benefit from that company, you don't actually need the consent of your spouse.
Right.
You can actually sign that surety without the consent of your spouse. Provided there's no financial gain that you're going to get out of it.
And then in terms of a will, what's the validity of a will of a spouse who's married in community or property but appears to be giving away items to beneficiaries that would ordinarily be assumed to be shared property between the spouses?
Well, you can't give away more rights that you're entitled to, so that can be contested.
Yes, by the spouse.
I can't give away more rights than I have.
Absolutely. So basically, in the event that were to happen, the spouse could basically challenge that.
Yes, correct.
Right. So based on the information that you've been giving us, what's the moral of the story? Is it wise in this day and age perhaps to be married out of community or property?
Well, it is. It's having regards to our economy, it's better to conclude an antenuptial contract where both spouses actually separate their liabilities. Because at the end of the day, it protects both spouses from a sheriff knocking at your door wants to attach your motor vehicles in your houses.
That was Corne Lewis. He's a director in the dispute resolution practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr.
The clock is ticking for the 94th edition of the